Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 648. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, you know, it is just another day in paradise. It was kind of nice to not drive yesterday to commute to work. But I'll tell you what, that really throws your day off when you're used to doing something, even if it's as much of a time suck as driving 2 hours and 40 minutes every day. It's kind of weird when it's not there. So I was glad that today got back to normal a little bit, and I did have to make that boring-ass drive. Made my day go a lot better. Or at least smoother, it seemed like. Speaking of smooth, I guess. We get WrestleMania season is upon us, Chris. It started evidently on Monday, according to... Yeah. Was that a WWE graphic that that you posted on your Facebook page?
Yes, the WWE graphic for WrestleMania week. All 9 days of it.
It's a little crazy.
Like, it is.
There is a gluttony of wrestling, and it's really going to be interesting to see if they do this two-day thing moving forward after, like, you're still under pandemic conditions, so I guess you're trying not to do everything normal, but I guess I'm really would not be surprised if this is the new norm moving forward. What are your thoughts on these two-night, like, whether it's either stand and deliver with NXT or WrestleMania?
I'm thinking next year they want to do one night and get 100,000 people in Dallas again. I don't think, unless the situation, if we're still in something of a dire straits, I don't think that they'll settle for a two-night WrestleMania with 50,000 each night. I think that they'll want the full for one night. It's only been advertised for one night so far. We will see what happens.
Oh, okay. I guess I did not realize that they've already been putting out some advertisements as a one-night situation.
Well, I mean, it's still a year away. That a lot can change, but yeah. As of now, the plan was only to have it be one night again.
Oh, okay. I did not realize that, or else I would not have asked that question, I suppose. Yeah, there is a lot of wrestling on these days, and we've been discussing that. But this many WWE events within a 9-day time period is even bad by WWE standards. Like, that is a lot too much. Like, I was not even vaguely thinking about recording not recording because there is a Hall of Fame ceremony going on sometime tonight.
Yeah, no, I watched an hour of it. It's weird. It's in the Thunderdome. Just people get telling their life story to a bunch of screens. speeches only get about 5 minutes, but that's about all you can handle in that environment to begin with. Yeah. Going through with the Hall of Fame like this was not a good idea.
Yeah, I cannot blame, because I'm not sure if we ever really discussed it, but Batista, I believe, did he publicly acknowledge that he wanted to wait until fans were around?
Yeah, he said something like that, but I'm sure he's busy with something, filming something. I mean, he has to be. I mean, it's, you know, getting him or Cena or certainly Rock to WrestleMania this year was always going to be a stretch because they're behind on everything that they had going on in their life for like 6 months.
Oh.
You know, 6 months, nothing was in production. So, yeah, It doesn't surprise me that he didn't show up. I'm glad they didn't just have him except over Zoom. So, you know, and have him come back later to be in front of a large crowd is certainly for the best.
Yeah. No matter who decided to make that call, it was probably best that, you know, the animal did not go in this year. And it's pretty arbitrary anyway, you know? So I'm not sure that it's really that big of a deal to get elected in 2021 as opposed to 2022 or some future date where your schedule works out.
I feel bad for anybody who's going in, you know, these 2 years in this truncated ceremony in front of nobody. It sucks. I mean, they all deserve better, but I guess hats off to the ones who decided to accept the honor and show up and at least try to make something of this.
Now, because this was the last year's class, I believe, was tonight. Because wasn't it 1 year's 2020 one day and 2021 the other?
Oh, no. They may have been taped on different nights, but or different days, or however the hell they did that. Maybe they taped it at 9:30 in the morning. Who knows? But they're both airing tonight.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they do not need to be airing on multiple. I should have pulled up your graphic. I thought that it was a two-night thing for the Hall of Fame ceremony. I thought that they were really going to milk that. But, I know I'm not going to be watching that. There is probably a very good chance that I do not watch SmackDown.
I've already decided I'm not watching SmackDown. Yeah, I can't do it. I don't care that much about the two matches they you know, quote unquote moved off of WrestleMania, even though they were never originally advertised for there. I'm not watching SmackDown this week. I don't plan on watching AEW this week. Honestly, I might find something else to do and then just watch the stuff from the Takeover, the Wednesday Takeover that I actually want to watch on Thursday.
Yeah, okay.
The Io Shirai Raquel match, the Walter Ciampa match, because I honestly don't care about that gauntlet they set up last week. I don't care. I really, really don't care about the NXT Tag Team Division.
Oh.
So yeah, I think because I really figured it out between the Thursday Takeover and the two nights of WrestleMania, they're adding 8 hours to the usual WWE week.
Holy
smokes.
Which is
7 hours with commercials.
Wow, man. I guess I hadn't really done the math on how much they were adding, but I guess I'm not surprised. Because are the takeovers only supposed to be 2 hours?
Yeah, 2 to 2.5.
Okay.
And the Wednesday one, they're doing something. It's going to be on Peacock with no commercials. But it's somehow also going to be on USA with commercials. And usually, with, of course, the USA airing, they have a pretty strict time to go off the air, although the XC does have an overrun. A lot of good that's done them during this pathetic war, excuse for a war. it's weird how they're doing it. But, you know, I do plan on watching the Thursday show in its entirety because I do like that show more, and there's more of what I care about on that show, so I do plan to watch that live.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to watch both of them live. I'll probably jump into the Wednesday night one a little bit late. There is a possibility I will jump into the Thursday one on time. We shall see. But yeah, that's a lot. And yeah, the stuff that's got moved to SmackDown, the Andre Battle Royal, it just, no one cares, guys. Like, that is not a draw. Like, I know that you're supposed to be honoring one of your legends, but that, it's just not really an honor. You know, like, it's really become an afterthought match. I know that we kind of had some big names win it, because, what, Cesaro won the first year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But then they didn't, they gave him a half-hearted, as usual, push, and then that was that.
Yeah.
And, what, Corbin's won it, Big Show won it. And those were
Mojo
all within...
Mojo Rawley won it, for fuck's sake.
Oh, I forgot that Mojo Rawley won it.
Didn't Matt Hardy win it for 1 year? And then Braun won it, of course. You know,
oh.
Yep. Yeah, and then of course, they didn't do one last year. No, it's just... You know, just an excuse to get a bunch of people something to do, and... four-way tag match. I feel bad for the Street Profits, I think.
Oh.
But not really anyone else that's in that equation.
Yeah, that's kind of like the I don't know. It's definitely not been this many consecutive years, but I guess I was thinking, you mentioned a tag team, and I started thinking about how many consecutive years was it that the Usos got left off of the WrestleMania card after having, like, great match after great match.
I think they got left off of seven or something like that. It was some crazy number.
Yeah, that was really... yeah, that streak got a little too crazy before they finally broke it. I hope that's not a start of a streak for the Street Profits, honestly, but yeah, them not being on the main card is, they're one of those ones that I feel like, we talked, I don't know if you and I talked about it or not, but Bayley being left off the card, like, they're kind of in that area of, like, it, even as big and as long as they're going to have this two-night WrestleMania, those guys still couldn't make it on. It's kind of wild.
it's kind of wild, but same time, I'm looking forward to these shows getting in and out in 3 hours, man.
Oh. I've got to admit that these ones, because it's an 8 p.m. Eastern start time, if memory serves, and I will admit the end of these are going to be a little bit late for your boy most of the time. I guess they are weekend days, so I tend to stay up a little bit later, but The Sunday night one might be a little bit rough for me, because I'm usually in bed at 11. So, but 3 hours, I'm here for it. Like, they have definitely, after the bloated Dallas card that I went to with several of our friends, they've done it. The WWE has done a better job of cutting some of the fat. And
I wouldn't say so. Not until they were forced by a global pandemic, really.
That's true.
I mean, it
is hard to say, because it wasn't that long ago, and now two of the, three WrestleManias since then have been under pandemic conditions.
Oh, no, this is the fifth WrestleMania since then.
Okay.
Well, you're kind of, I think maybe you're getting a little confused. just because you and Jeremy also went to New Orleans 2 years later.
Yeah, but New Orleans didn't feel as bad, or maybe we just I think we intentionally showed up late.
Yeah, that's one of the keys, is...
I think that actually, that's what happened.
That those pre-show matches do not count. You do not have to be in your seats till 6:30, 6:45 Eastern. And then
exactly.
They gotta get these main shows down to four. No more five. Five's too long. Even if you take the pre-show out of the equation, five is too long for anything. Unless you're at a baseball game that's in like 15 innings or something like that. that happens once in a blue moon, you know?
Yeah, I have done a handful of hockey games that are excessive like that, and playoff overtimes, and oof, man, it's not fun. At some point, you're just kind of watching like you're a zombie.
Yeah, yeah. And this is just to say that, you know, we lived through all of those years of those 4 years straight of 5+ hour main shows, not even counting the pre-show, which. With action, getting in the ring at about 5:30 Eastern, which was absolutely ridiculous. Half full crowds watching Ryback and Kalisto, like, or a quarter of the crowds only in there. Yeah, it's just silly stuff like that. But bottom line is, those shows got absolutely laborious. Even the ones that were good were just too long. And those last hours dragged. You know, poor Becky Lynch scoring her big win at 12:30 p.m. So excuse me, 12:30 a.m. I felt like 12:30 p.m. And just the, and you can almost hear crickets because these people are just done. I guess all this says hard cuts, and relating it back to the two matches that are happening on SmackDown instead of WrestleMania, is hard cuts have to be made.
Oh,
for the overall enjoyment of this show, and shows going forward. Hopefully, they've learned their lessons.
Well, and I guess it is kind of funny because NXT in general, to me, has done a pretty good job just focusing on certain matches. It's just like sometimes. They have a big name that you're like, oh, they're not on this takeover, and you don't think that much of it.
Yeah.
But at some point, and I don't know when exactly it happened, I guess it's just because the WWE's roster is expanding and they're still going, we need to get everyone on the show. And it's just like, you have too many people now, guys. Like, you just can't. You can't do that now. You know, like you said, like, it kills the enjoyment for your fans.
Yeah, you can't keep people. Maybe if these shows were earlier in the day, it would be different. But you can't keep people sitting watching a sporting event that much past 11. I don't.
Well, or even if they gave you because do they really give you a true intermission? Like, I know that there are breaks between matches, but, yeah, like, even a true, like, hey, we're not doing anything for 15 minutes, like, just whatever, go to the bathroom. I'd never go because there'd be a herd of people there.
Right.
But, you know, even something like that would really be helpful. Because then, if you are really there, you're just choosing. You're like, oh, this is a bathroom match. Like, you're making your own choices when you're there. And that's if you can hold it. Sometimes people get stuck during good parts of the show, and it sucks. I feel like I had one of those occasions, but I can't remember exactly what it was that happened that I missed out on because I was, like, getting popcorn or something.
Well, at the 31 where I went in San Francisco, my buddy was in the bathroom during the and missed the Rock's entrance.
Oh, brutal.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah, that's...
That's that leaves a mark.
Yeah, that's one.
I don't think I missed anything that I didn't miss anything quite like that. I don't think. I definitely would have remembered that. So yeah. I guess then, speaking of all of this wrestling stuff, I guess do we want to do a little bit of a match-by-match preview here of the WrestleMania two-night card? Or how do you want to break this down?
I think we can go match-by-match, you know, night-by-night.
Okie dokie. I'm going to start in a different place this time around because, there is one very new match that happened on Raw. And that happens to be tag team turmoil match that is now going to be a two-night experience. And this is a way to do this, but this one's some filler.
Yeah, it will be. You know, it's get all the women but Bailey on the show. Because we're already teasing that Billy Kay and Carmella are going to be joining. I guess you could introduce Bailey with a new partner during the course of this to get her on the show, but then she'd have to win, and then they go heel versus heel, so I don't think they're going to do that either. But yeah, no, it's something. It's definitely filler, and I'm not exactly excited at the idea of any of these teams facing Shane and Nia, because they've all faced Shane and Nia before.
Yeah, Natalya and Tamina would be the only new ones.
Yeah, they would be the only new ones, but they're an Italian Tamina. So I still don't care. Yeah, no, it's whatever. It's definitely filler. Yeah, glad they're all getting on the show.
One that could be something of a show stealer, honestly, Cesaro versus Seth Rollins. Your thoughts?
Huge match for Cesaro. Should be tremendous. they've done a good job with this one. Once again, it's an undercard match. So, and they've done, you know, the booking 101 type stuff to get there. It's, you know, as I said, it's a big match for Cesaro. I don't doubt that. You know, they will have a very, very good match here. Although, interesting, because Cesaro was on Renee's podcast today, he brought up that it seems like him and Seth would have wrestled each other a lot, and maybe earlier in their careers they did, but they actually haven't had a singles match in WWE in like 6 or 7 years.
Considering that... even though Cesaro was in a tag team, you always end up with tag teams in singles matches, you know, to either, you know, establish order or just run a storyline around. Like, it is kind of surprising that two guys like that would go 6 years without... Cesaro definitely would have been around the Seth Rollins... atmosphere. Like, Rollins wasn't...
They've had plenty of... singles match. They've had plenty of tag matches against each other.
But yeah, I guess it still is surprising that they didn't have a sync, you know, like I said, like some type of, oh, it's, you know, guy A versus guy B from the tag teams facing off against each other. Like, that... you know, if you have a tag team match, that's almost automatically part of the storyline.
Yeah.
So
no, it makes no, because Seth and Dean Ambrose feuded quite a bit with Cesaro and Sheamus, I guess. Sheamus was only in the singles match with Rollins, I assume.
Yeah, that is pretty wild. So, yeah, I guess that's a pretty fresh matchup. And I keep on forgetting, I really should subscribe to Renee's podcast.
It is very good. She's a good interviewer. She gets a lot out of her guests.
So, yeah, that should be a fun match. I'm looking forward to that one. I guess I would not lightly say show stealer if I didn't think that that has a possibility. Like, like you said, like, it's more of an undercard match, so it's going to have a hard time doing that. And if they are at a hard 3-hour time limit, you know, I have a hard time seeing this one pushing more than 15 minutes.
Yeah, no. And you know what? That's fine. It's an undercard match. It doesn't need to go 20. That's another reason these WrestleManias have gone forever. These long ass match times.
Oh,
for matches that as good as whoever's in it, they're not important enough to get that much time.
Oh right.
I'm at war with long shows and long matches unless it's really 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 important for them to go long. And, you know, long movies, long everything. Did you see the thing on Twitter the other day where someone was actually complaining that the upcoming Mortal Kombat movie on HBO Max is only going to be under, and theaters, is going to be under, just under 2 hours long?
Oh.
Mortal Kombat used to be 3 hours and have all sorts of exposition and lengthy explanations of the characters and their motivations and their origins.
Yeah, well, and I'm going to go at this both ways. I am cool with long movies. I am a huge Lord of the Rings fan. That's one of the reasons why I was into Dungeons and Dragons as a young child. So I dig Lord of the Rings. So I can sit there for 3.5 hours and watch that movie without a problem.
Yeah.
But I also very much appreciate a movie that knows what it's doing and doesn't overstay its welcome. Like, almost 2 hours still sounds like a little too long for a Mortal Kombat movie, actually.
Yeah. It actually does. Yeah, so, yeah, it just...
Like, if it came in at 90 minutes or something like that, or, like, $1.45... I'd be like, oh, yeah, that sounds like money. Like, tacking on that extra 10 minutes, not really necessary. Like you said, it's Mortal Kombat. There isn't that much to it.
Yeah.
And they did a pretty decent job. I mean, I love that corny-ass Mortal Kombat back in the day and have watched it a couple of times within the last year.
Oh, it's popcorn action flick. That's all it needs to be. And you know what? And as great as the two of them are, Seth Rollins and Cesaro, they just need a 12-minute all-action match. They don't need to go over 20 for an undercard match with nothing at stake.
Yeah. We will save the long match for the next one on our hit list here. Braun Strowman versus Shane McMahon.
Oh my God! Oh, jeez! Bite your tongue, man. Bite your tongue. Oh man.
Well, I mean, it is the owner's son, so I'm just gonna say that there is a possibility this has more.
Shane has gone long in the past.
Yes.
His AJ Styles went over 20. His Hell in a Cell match with the Undertaker and Kevin Owens. Somehow they overlap. They both went. they're both going on at the same time. It's apparently. Yeah, yeah. Some of Shane's matches tend to go long, but I think they know the two of them in a steel cage. Doesn't need that much time. I would hope. I have been a critic of Shane McMahon's cardio of late, just not seeming like he came into this run in the best shape. And Braun is Braun. And, you know, the cage stipulation actually limits them and what they could have done if they hadn't allowed anything goes, you know, battle over the building, which would have suited them better. So, yeah, the quicker the better for this one.
I agree with you, but I just, unfortunately, I think that this is definitely going to be a match that overstays its welcome.
Well, if it goes more than 5 minutes, it's possible, too, with 2021 Braun Strowman and 2021 Shane McMahon. But we'll see.
I guess that is the best I'm going to hope for out of this match, is to be pleasantly surprised at how it does. I don't think it's going to be a complete train wreck, but I don't really care about the match either. Like,
no, the storyline's really storyline is stupid. That's a stupid, childish storyline. Nobody's behaving in a way that in any way like an adult would act in this situation. It's just stupid. As they keep trying to beat over our heads.
Yeah, because even if Braun is offended by this stuff, like, that should not be his reaction at all.
I mean, he's dedicating this match to all the stupid people all over the world. I did watch that promo. I guess he said that all the people who've been called stupid or been bullied or what have you, because, you know, when you're Braun Strowman size, bullying is a huge issue.
Yeah, I'm sure it was a real problem. Not to say that he might not have caught a dumb comment here or there, but I'm sure things have not really gotten to the bullying stage in that department. So that match is that match. The next match, speaking of tag teams here, we get New Day, the Kingston and Woods variety, taking on AJ Styles and Omos. Is the intrigue of Omos talking you, piquing your interest?
Oh, absolutely. I am very, very interested to see what Omos does here. This match is going to be very, very much built off on Omos. They've had AJ Styles lose a couple of singles matches over the last few weeks, so that to set up Omos as the difference maker. And I'm definitely, this is an interesting situation. I certainly see new tag team champions here. And then I don't know what the hell you do with, because there's not really any other teams on Raw, and certainly not many people who can stand up to Omos.
It would be pretty weird to have a tag team that would match that have anyone to match Omos in size. Like, unless you bring Keith Lee back in a tag team, or Damian Priest in a tag team, like, there, you have a very limited number of people that can at least look okay next to Omos in the size department.
Right.
So, I guess I am intrigued. The guy seems to move well, from what we've seen of the limited action that he has participated in. It'll be fun to see him in a full-on match.
Absolutely. That's what this is about. They've done a good job. Well, first, for months and months and months, they kept almost shrouded in mystery. He didn't really do much. Then slowly started getting more and more physically involved in AJ Styles matches. You know, the most physically involved he had been up to that point was during a match where AJ was wrestling Kofi and almost got his hands on Woods and just dropped him over the barrier in a very impressive looking spot. And then from there, that's surprisingly birthed this feud. That's been, one of the things at WrestleMania, they've done nothing to screw up. And that's saying something.
Yeah, this has definitely not been a good year for build-up.
No.
For nearly anything. And yeah, you're right. Like, this has not had a very long storyline time. But the storyline time they have put into it has been well used. And I guess one other story that's been consistent and half-decent has been Bad Bunny and his buddy Damian Priest being at odds with The Miz and John Morrison.
Yeah. No, that's been well done. They've done everything right as far as integrating Bad Bunny into storylines and into a match. They did finally make the match a tag match. Weird that they didn't do that all along, but better late than never. It will likely be a better match as a tag match. Although I think maybe it would have been more of a curiosity, a mainstream curiosity as a singles match, but that's not where they're going. So yes, this should be a better match. I assume they'll know what Bad Bunny will know enough of what to do to. He took a hell of a beating. I'll give him that much.
And they put the lamest paint possible on a Bugatti.
That's a $3.6 million car. It's gonna rust off. But
when they put paint by numbers crayon art on there, I was like, guys, it's coming off. But he did catch a good beating. I guess I'd be interested to see a little bit of hindsight to see if they, thought he could do it and they were just giving him as much rope as possible to see if Bad Bunny could actually pull off a singles match. And that's why they held out on announcing it as a tag match. Or if, like you said, maybe they thought a singles match would garner a little more attention.
Right.
And, we'll probably never know the case. But, it's probably going to work better as a match to probably have Damian Priest doing the bulk of the work for their team. The co-main event, I guess you would call it, seems at this time to be Bobby Lashley taking on Drew McIntyre. This build really, this one took a hit. We're back into bad storyline build territory over here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this was, they just did nothing to do with these two. The whole bounty storyline went nowhere. Just leading to a 20-minute match between Drew McIntyre and Baron Corbin on Raw that I actually did turn into, even though I wasn't going to watch any of Raw, at least anything in its entirety. Boy, was that a mistake. Wow. I just, like, heading into a championship match and you have a 20-minute competitive match with Baron Corbin? Like, what are you thinking? It just, yeah, nothing they tried to do really went anywhere, and they really shouldn't have tried to do much. It just, two of them say that they're going to have a match, do some promos, maybe do some training montages, things of that nature. That's it. That's all that's required. And then they overthought it, and then it came in undercooked.
We've kind of been hammering on that point a lot recently, and there's no reason to change our tune at this point. Like you said, like, this week didn't make things any better. Lashley got a fairly dominant win over... Did he take on Cedric? Yeah, Cedric Alexander. Yeah. So, but that's kind of to be expected, too. I mean, when Cedric Alexander even goes into it as, I'm going to get my ass kicked, but I'm at least going to give him a couple of good ones, like, you kind of expect that to happen.
Yeah.
What do you think is the outcome? Like, I guess we haven't really guessed the outcome of any of these other matches. This, to me, is... there's an intriguing outcome to this one. Who do you think ends up winning this?
I'll quickly go back around. Let's see. We have... I'll say... Riot Squad wins the turmoil. Cesaro beats Seth. Oh, crap. Braun beats Shane. Well, no, you know what? Shane beats Braun. And let's see. Oh, crap.
I think you already called Omos and AJ Styles. So
I called Omos and AJ. And so then it's Bad Bunny and Damian Priest. Okay, that's five. So now we're at six.
Yep, you're caught up now.
All right. And I will say Drew will regain. Not that it's what I want to happen, what I think would be the best for what happens, but I think that they want Drew's re-coronation to take place in WrestleMania in front of fans, and Bobby Lashley is just a vehicle to make that happen.
That seems to be the prevailing sentiment right now for that match. And I'm really hoping it's not true. I think that Drew has been elevated enough within the past year for him to easily be able to stay on top of the card. Like, he's already recovered, honestly, from two title losses he shouldn't have really had. In his back in the main event picture. Like, that's how much faith they have in him currently. So I do think that he could shrug off another loss, but I think I'm leaning towards the main sentiment currently, which is Drew ends up winning, even though my heart says Bobby. I'm going to go with your least favorite tag team, Natalya and Tamina. Cesaro. Man, yeah, Shane just keeps on beating the people that he shouldn't beat. Like, this feels like another one of those Miz slash... I think we did establish that Kevin Owens eventually got a win, but... Not after really Shane had run him into the ground anyway.
Well, no, I don't think Shane ever beat Kevin Owens.
Oh.
They just kept going and going and going.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to think, because didn't Shane have... I feel like he had another feud other than the one with The Miz that he started something really personal and the person...
Well, remember, he feuded with Kevin Owens twice. Once with Kevin Owens as the heel, and once with Kevin Owens as the babyface.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, and I felt like one of those Kevin Owens feuds, he did not get his win back then. Which must have been as the babyface then. So, yeah, like, Shane is, like, the king of not putting over the babyface. So I guess I'm going to go Shane, too. Yeah, you don't put Omos in a match for the first time without him winning a championship. So I think that one's pretty easy. And I do think that it'd be pretty weird to not have your celebrity win their match. Because I think, I mean, because didn't even Snooki win her match?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Bad Bunny's winning his match. And then we're all caught up to what is the main event? And Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair, I think we've talked in the past about how bad this buildup has been. I do think that they've done some minor repairs to make this definitely more palatable the last couple of weeks. What is your opinion?
Yeah, they finally got all their stupid teaming and the whole Reginald mess out of their storyline. They did 2 weeks of pretty basic stuff of Sasha jumping Bianca from behind and then Bianca, outsmarting Sasha, which tried to do it again. That was all fine and good. There's, historic nature of this match being with, having, two black women could be for the championship. There's a huge push to have it be the main event, and I think they should, absolutely, when we're talking about it last. So, it should definitely be the main event. I think that they will overcome what, a lackluster build to have a pretty tremendous match, and I certainly see a new SmackDown Women's Champion.
As much as Banks has been one of the pandemic MVPs, whether it was in the tag team with Bayley or her more recent singles run, I actually almost think she needs more of this reinvigoration of her character more than winning the match. And her being able to, possibly complain about this loss if something half nefarious happens could be a good way. Because Sasha has definitely been the one going more heelish these last couple of weeks. So, if something questionable happens to let Bianca win, like even if it's just something a heel would normally point out, it could really be for the best for everyone involved, because there isn't really a big bad heel in the women's division currently. Shayna and Nia could be used that way, but they aren't currently being used that way.
No, and they're not on, and technically they're not on SmackDown either.
That is also true.
But yeah, I think that if we're saving Bayley for anything, it would be to be Bianca's first opponent after WrestleMania. Because they've got an issue that's are already established, and I believe they're 1-1 against each other. So yeah, I definitely see Bayley being something of Bianca's first major opponent, depending on if there's a slew of rematches with Sasha first.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, there's always I would be shocked if there are not rematches, honestly. As much as I think that Sasha Banks could be falling in the footsteps of one Roman Reigns and having at least half a foot out the door, I don't think it's that that her foot's out there.
There's definitely a possibility for that. I think something about the third season of The Mandalorian is going to start filming, and she may very well have a more prominent role this coming season. So it's very possible that Sasha won't be around much after WrestleMania. Nothing confirmed on that sort, but it's possible.
Yeah, well, A, I'm excited that is being taped. B, whatever her role is, I am happy for her. So, it does seem like a coronation time for Bianca to be put in this position. Because Rhea Ripley had a very similar spot and lost in it, but Banks definitely has taken some high-profile L's in her career that, I know Charlotte's taken a couple of them, but she also really has not done as many as Sasha.
Right.
So, I guess we can, I think we both made our prediction there.
Yeah.
And there isn't really much more to say about that one, right? So we can just move on to, do you think that Nia and Shayna end up retaining against whomever they end up facing in night two?
I'll say they will.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I don't see whoever, whether it's the Riot Squad or, any of these groups. Like, Lana and Naomi, because Naomi's on the team, they definitely have a little more name recognition than the other ones. I'm still just mystified with Dana Brooke, or not Dana Brooke, Mandy Rose, like, being completely shut out. Like, that is one that, I'm mystified, like, what happened there. I don't see any of those teams beating Shayna and Nia. Because, why would they? Like, none of them are as good as Shayna and Nia. You know, and they haven't built on any of the women's tag teams. So, we have a second title match to talk about. Riddle versus Sheamus. Much like Cesaro and Seth Rollins, this one definitely has a chance to be a good in-ring match.
Yeah, no, this should be very physical, stiff, snug match, as they say. All my feelings about Riddle aside, no reason this shouldn't be very good. And, but not my feelings towards Riddle aside, he's going to fucking win.
Sheamus has pretty much just been doing jobs, so I would be shocked and surprised if he won, because they have definitely been pushing Riddle. Like, as much as we have complained about his character and said how terrible it is, it seems pretty clear that the WWE sees a future with him.
Yeah, they do. And his stupid birds.
So, I would be more than shocked if he ended up losing to Sheamus, even if it is only the U.S. Championship. Somehow one Mr. Logan Paul has gotten involved with Samuel Zane and Kevin Owens to spice up another match that in-ring wise should be pretty good.
Yeah, it should be really good. They've done a good enough job as you can with a match that's obviously thrown together to give two guys something to do. The involvement of Logan Paul adds something extra to it. Though it seems like they are playing it, not that Logan Paul and Sammy are great friends, but that Logan Paul is getting annoyed with Sami Zayn, which means that they're bringing Logan Paul in to be a babyface. It's just they have zero understanding of the general public and their relationship with this man.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah,
because I guess I wouldn't be completely surprised, because Kevin Owens pushed him on the way out of the ring on SmackDown, that he might end up with a problem with both Sammy and Kevin. But I don't know what kind of satisfying ending does it happen if the celebrity guy knocks out both of the guys in the match.
I almost want to see it just to watch the internet explode. Oh my god! Yeah, I don't get it, because I just did a little gimmick where on Twitter and online, where Sami Zayn went to where Logan and his brother are training for boxing, and he got locked out of the facility and by security, and so they're not playing with them up as friends. So yeah, it's a weird deal. Hopefully it doesn't totally overshadow the match, and hopefully they know who they're dealing with here and have one Mr. Logan Paul end up eating a stunner.
Yeah, that should be the outcome. do you think that Kevin Owens ends up winning this match? That, quite frankly, the outcome doesn't matter, does it?
It doesn't really matter. You know what? You could have Sammy win the match based on chicanery, and then get the Logan Paul spot in with the stunner. Or you could have Sammy, you know, Sammy's supposed to be this conspiracy victim, so it makes sense for him to lose as well. I guess I'll say Kevin Owens to continue the whole conspiracy victim story.
Fair enough. Sammy needs to be losing to be persecuted, so that I think the Logan Paul interference happens to further corroborate his information. Next up, we got something that is completely foreign to us, a Nigerian drum match. Big E Langston, Apollo Crews, both of the mid-card championships defended on the second night of the show.
Yeah, that's a weird call, but okay. It seems like Big E and Apollo are getting the big gimmick brawl match of the weekend instead of Braun and Shane, which is surprising to me. They've had good interactions, you know, all the way up to this point. No reason this shouldn't be a hell of a, you know, good to great match. And I will say that I think Apollo will take the title.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good guess. Honestly, I think I'm going with Apollo too. Like, they've drug out this storyline long enough that to me, that's the way because they have been. This is one of those few long-term stories, honestly, in WrestleMania this year. It hasn't been at the forefront, and it's taken a little bit of time off here and there, but they've been running with this, what, the better part of 3 months?
3 months, yeah. It really started immediately after Big E won the title, yeah.
So, yeah, we first had Apollo as friend challenger, and then we got the change, and then we went full Nigerian Apollo. And, it's been fun to watch this evolution of Apollo Crews. You know, it's just fun to see a guy get into a character that seems to be, you know, this is one where it is so out of my realm of any level of knowledge that I'm assuming he has to have input into what is being produced on the screen.
I would hope so, because this is one of those things that it's not my place to say, but it seems like it could be on the edge of bad taste. Like they're actually making up something about another a very real country's culture that isn't true.
Yeah, it seems that way, but I would think in this day and age, I'm hoping that it's playing a little bit better than that.
Yeah. But there haven't been any major complaints about it or anything of that sort from anyone whose opinion would matter on the subject. Who Lord knows mine doesn't. It's another name for a hardcore match, really.
Well, one match that is kind of surprising by its lack of stipulation. Also a very, very long-term feud at this point.
Oh my god, yeah, we're gonna have to talk about this one.
The Fiend versus Randy Orton.
Yeah, I don't even know what they're doing here. Everything that they've done, they set a man on fire. A man had a curse put on him.
A man was vomiting blood, or black stuff.
Black ooze. Alexa Bliss tried to drop a lighting ring on Randy Orton with her mind. With her magical powers? Because Alexa Bliss has magical powers now? We're going to have a straight wrestling match at WrestleMania. I hope they start with a collar and elbow tie-up. Like, this attempted murder storyline.
I guess to give them some level of credit, I'm assuming that there's going to be some stipulation put on this, because as you just listed, like, there is no reason, none whatsoever, for this to be a traditional match. Even a squash match by the new Burnt Fiend, like, I'm not even feeling anything like that, you know, which would make some level of sense.
I don't think you would squash Randy Orton, nor do I think Randy Orton would enjoy that. But then again, if Randy Orton's going into this with an attitude of pin me, pay me, I don't care. Which is possible too. Their last WrestleMania match against each other didn't have a stipulation to it, but it got really, really, really weird. So this could be among the same, even if it's not announced as a stipulation match beforehand, where we're going to get some. I assume we're going to get some weird stuff attached to this match regardless, yeah.
Oh, yeah. At a minimum, I'm expecting, if it's not a full-on cinematic match, I'm at least expecting cinematic elements to this match.
Yeah.
So,
I'll go with the Fiend winning, but it won't really matter.
I think at this point we've said, like, Randy Orton seems in the does not want out of the WWE. Like, he is not Sasha and or Roman Reigns. Like, you do not see him with a foot out the door. So whether he wins or loses doesn't really matter. And that guy has, definitely been a pandemic MVP. Randall Orton has been. And I guess you have to say that that the Fiend at least has played some type of role in that situation too, of being a maybe one of the lesser pandemic MVPs since he's been involved with Orton for so long. And he's had some good content of his own, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, next up, Women's Raw Championship, Asuka versus Rhea Ripley. Is this another one, even though it has gotten no time, but is Rhea Ripley going to get her win that she did not get last year?
Yeah, I can certainly see that Rhea Ripley coming out of this thing with a victory. It's, you know, obviously this is, Rhea is benefiting from the Charlotte Flair situation. And unfortunately, Asuka has suffered because of that situation and no. just the overall lack of talent and creative prowess on Raw in the Raw Women's Division, and the focus put on the Raw Women's Division. Oof. Yeah, I mean this is probably the best thing they could have done, and it's still been clumsy in some ways. You know, Rhea Ripley still is not established on Raw to be getting this match, and they really haven't done a good job truly, you know, explaining who Rhea Ripley is to people who don't know. But you know, we're here. This is what the best they can do, and I guess Rhea Ripley is gonna take the title.
Yeah, well, and it's almost strange. Like, I know that Charlotte isn't involved, but not being able to invoke her name, really, and being able to hearken back to that match that Rhea had at WrestleMania last year, at least in any significant way, has probably hurt the storyline. Like, you didn't need to harp on it, but you need to use it as more of a basis of motivation for Rhea, if nothing else.
Yeah, no, it just, you know, we don't even know if Rhea is a babyface or a heel at this point. She's, for the most part, been a babyface on NXT, of course, but, you know, she's the one who got physical with Asuka first at the contract signing. She attacked Asuka after the tag match on Raw last night. It seems like she's being prepped to be the heel, but it's not a role that she's stayed in for very long or she's excelled in. So it's definitely an odd situation for her. And for Asuka as well, who is just, you know, it's been really unfortunate what's happened to Asuka since the summer.
Oh, yeah. It's been a complete train wreck for her. And some of it, like you said, like this Charlotte stuff, like it got so weird so quick with Charlotte. Like, you kind of saw that friendly rivalry match happening at some point for the two of them, even though they were teaming together. And that didn't come about because of the whole Lacey Evans thing. And then Evans gets pregnant and wrecks that storyline with Charlotte. And then Charlotte gets the, you know, test to possibly, she might be having a child, and then she gets COVID. Like, that is just a really strange string of events to be where we're at.
It really is a strange string of events. Nothing like this is, it's a very, very unique situation, particularly with the whole, you're pregnant. No, you're not a part of this. And the situation, you know, it's a lot of drama, more drama than I ever thought Charlotte Flair would ever have in WWE.
Yes.
You thought she was the golden girl forever, and you know, maybe things are gonna get back on track, but I don't know. It's just not a situation, and certainly the Raw Women's Division has suffered for it.
Yeah. Then last up, it would seem, Roman Reigns versus Edge versus Daniel Bryan, closing night two. I mean, yeah, there is not another match that has this much firepower involved in it.
No, this is no. Then there is no question what's closing night two. Yeah. So they've done a good enough job with this. I like what they've done. They had buyer's regret about going with Edge and Roman Reigns as a single, but they weren't going to take Edge out of the match, so they did the next best thing and put Daniel Bryan in the match, made it a triple threat. They all their motivations are clear. All of their they've all got their they've all got their good points. They've all got their bad points. They've all they've stated their cases, and now it's time to fight. And WWE triple threat matches like this always typically do end up excellent, even if it's the road to get there isn't always the least bumpy.
This is one where the build up has been pretty bad, but they have really gotten a focus on everything the last 3 weeks. Because they've really been able to basically just tell the triple threat storyline, and it's given them just enough time, like you said, to flesh out everyone's motivations. We tweaked Edge a little bit to definitely go more heel, and this match has turned into a lot of fun. I really like how this one has turned out. But it did have a bad beginning.
Yes, it did.
So, and this is one where I guess it should be a good match, but I'm also, this is one of the few that I feel like, this is like one of the strongest outcomes that I feel, and like Roman Reigns seems like a lock on this one.
I'm not going to go as far as say lock, but he absolutely should retain, and I predict him to retain. I believe he absolutely should retain. Yes, this is just not the circumstances are not are not correct for a Roman Reigns title loss here.
No, even if you can shield him from the loss, pun not actually intended, but I'll go with it. Yeah, it's still not a good look to have him lose at this point. Like, he should have one of the longer title reigns in WWE history. Like, it's always a chore to get the longest, but it feels like Reigns is really in for a long title reign here. So, any other thoughts before we talk about beer, about the WrestleMania 9 days, WrestleMania week?
There's something in it for everyone, including the independents that we didn't talk about at all. Definitely more than enough to define to your wrestling pleasure.
Oh.
It is WrestleMania week. It is a...
Is that AIW... event on this week?
Yeah, that's on at 6 o'clock on Thursday. Yes.
Ah, hot damn! I'm not sure how I'm going to fit that one in. All right. Okay.
Yeah. So it's a lot for your viewing pleasure. However much or how little you watch, you'll certainly be able to find something you enjoy. It's among the most. It's certainly going to hopefully be the most unique WrestleMania week we'll ever see. Despite all of our complaints, I am still looking forward to it.
I'm good with one, two, three, like that second night. Honestly, like. Other than the women's tag team match, like, all of them have a chance to be a good wrestling match. You know, the whole thing, like, that night one is, whew, man, there's some rough, you know, yeah. No, I was going to say, like, even the first night, I guess the Bad Bunny match is going to be what it is, you know, like, I'm not expecting that much from that one, and I guess the AJ Styles Omos against New Day, I'm not expecting that much from that one in some regards. It should be an enjoyable match, but I'm also not expecting a classic when you have a giant involved. And yeah, Braun Strowman and Shane should be a spectacle at least. So yeah, I mean, both nights should be pretty solid, but I guess I'd rate the second night a little bit better as an overall whole. So yeah, it should be fun, and I think the plan for Jeremy and I for Stand and Deliver, to kind of mention that just right now, why not, is to do a show Friday during SmackDown. Like, that's one of the reasons I am not going to be watching SmackDown. I think we are just doing one composite NXT Stand and Deliver review. It's going to be Friday, so I guess we can go long, so it might be an extra long edition of the Stunt Granny audio, but I believe that is the plan at the current moment, instead of a two-podcast show. And watch Thursday. Yeah, I guess that's the other possibility, is record Thursday and then watch Thursday's show later before we record again on Friday. But we shall see the exact whereabouts and postings will be seen in the usual locations, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, pretty much any of those places that you can download those fine-ass podcasts is where you will find out what we decided to do at the last minute. So, Belltime beer of the show, it was a new one that I specifically bought for my brother, actually paid me to buy it. He wanted Land Grant and Beyond, black IPA with coffee. He is definitely more of a coffee drinker than myself. But I'll tell you what, this is some Crimson Cuff Coffee, which is one of the local roasters in town of coffee. And they a lot of people like them. Again, not a coffee fan, so I don't know. But I do like coffee and beer. It gave it a nice different bitterness as opposed to the hops that are always in a black IPA. I think that black IPAs in general are underrated. It is one of my favorite beer categories, but not a lot of breweries make the black IPA, because even 21st Amendment out of San Francisco stopped doing their Back in Black, which is quite honestly a standard bearer as far as I'm concerned, as far as black IPAs go. So yeah, Land Grant ships all over the great state of Ohio, so that one is available a great deal of many places. And they even serve their beers at Ohio Stadium. So if you happen to be in for an Ohio State game, you can even grab their beers there. So that is the Belltime beer choice from @Frango11. That was at Stunt Cali. And we are now out of here, because that's the end of the plugs.
Later.